Okay, Tov, and welcome back to another in our ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. We are on Yevamot, Daf Pei Vav Amud Bet, at the very bottom of the Amud, and we're going to be taking a look this morning at two Mishnayot, Mishnah He of Perek Tet, and right next to it, Mishnah Vav, and then the concluding analysis of the Gemara, and finish the Perek. Mishnah He and Mishnah Vav are mirror images of each other, and if you will, they sort of follow the career of a particular woman in Mishnah He, the case of a Bat Yisrael, who marries in different families and has children, etc., and Mishnah Vav with a Bat Kohen. So let's get right into it. Bat Yisrael Shniseit LeKohen. Now, by the way, our Mishnayot are authored by Reb Meir, who maintains that, just as we had in the previous Mishnah, that a Maaser Rishon can only be eaten by Levi'im, and that will affect everything here. Bat Yisrael Shniseit LeKohen. So if a Bat Yisrael marries a Kohen, Tochal B'Truma. That's very simple. She's married to a Kohen. She eats Truma. Mate, let's say the Kohen dies. V'lahi Menu Ben, and she has a son from that Kohen. Tochal B'Truma. This is something we saw throughout the 8th Perek. She eats because of her son. Niseit LeLevi. And now she marries a Levi. She can no longer eat Truma, because even though she has a Ben who's a Kohen, she is now married to a Zar, and that defines her status. Tochal B'Maaser, but she may eat Maaser because of her husband. Mate v'lahim menu ben, he dies and leaves her a son, so she's now got a ben Levi from that husband. She's also got a ben Kohen from her first husband. Tochava maaser, she may now continue to eat maaser because that son that she has from the Levi keeps her connected to the Levi. Niseit l'Yisrael. Now you can at that point ask, so why can't she also eat truma? She's got a ben Kohen. The answer is that subsequent to eating Truma, her marriage to Levi invalidated her from eating Truma. Niseit l'Yisrael. Now she marries Yisrael. Lo tochal b'Truma v'Maaser. Even though she's got a ben Levi and a ben Kohen, she can eat neither Truma nor Maaser, because her marriage to the Yisrael makes her an absolute Zar, or Zara. Mate v'lahim menu ben. Let's say he dies, leaves her a son. Same thing. Lo tochal b'Truma v'Maaser. Now let's roll it back. Mate b'nam Yisrael. Let's say that her son, who's Yisrael, dies. Tochal b'maaser. Now she has a ben Levi and a ben Kohen. She moves back to the status she was beforehand, which was ochelet b'maaser. Mate b'nami Levi, if her Levi son dies, tochal b'truma. Now she's got a ben Kohen, she eats truma. Mate b'nami Kohen, let's say that her Kohen son dies now, lo tochal b'truma lo maaser. Once that happens, she's now not connected to any of those marriages, and she goes back to original status of being a Bat Yisrael who needs neither truma or maaser. That's Mishnah Vav. Mishnah Hey. Mishnah Vav, again, takes the same piece with the Bat Kohen and turns it inside out. Bat Kohen, she needs to eat Yisrael. Lo tochal b'truma. She can't eat truma. Mate v'lahim menu ben. Lo tochal b'truma. Good. Niseit l'Levi. Now, she marries a Levi. Tochal b'maaser. Mate v'lahim menu ben. Tochal b'maaser. She continues to eat maaser as if she married the Levi because she has a son from the Levi. Niseit l'Kohen. Now she marries a Kohen. Remember, she's a Bat Kohen. She now marries a Kohen, but she marries a Kohen, and remember, she's got a Ben Yisrael and a Ben Levi, Tochal b'Truma. Because even though she has a Ben Yisrael and a Ben Levi, nonetheless, she's no worse than, as the Meiri points out, than a Yisraeli who marries a Kohen. So she marries a Kohen, Tochal b'Truma. Mate v'lahi menu ben, Tochal b'Truma. Even though she now has a Ben Yisrael, Ben Levi, and a Ben Kohen, she eats because her last status was as a Truma eater. Her Ben Kohen connects her to that husband, and she eats Truma. Mate b'nami Kohen, lo tochal b'truma. Now let's roll it back. Her son from the Kohen dies. She can't eat truma, but she can eat maaser. Mate b'nami Levi, lo tochal b'maaser. If the Levi son dies, then she can't eat maaser. Mate b'nami Yisrael, but now let's say the Yisrael son dies, which means she has no children from any of these marriages. Choseret levet aviha. She goes back to her father's household, which means she eats truma now. V'alzu ne'amar, and that's the pasuk number one on the page. Right, which the full pasuk is, if a bat kohen marries an ish zar, she cannot eat truma. But in this pasuk yud gimel, but if she becomes an almana or grusha, then she returns back to beit avia kinureha and vezera imla. She has no kids. She goes back like her youth, and she eats from the house from the lechem avia, meaning from the bread of her father's house, meaning truma. Good. So now the Gemara immediately asks, Mate b'nami Levi. Tochal b'truma. How do we know that if this is in our second Mishnah, the woman, in the first Mishnah, that a woman who married a Kohen and then has the son died, etc. And now she's rolling back. And when her Yisrael son died, then her Levi son died, that she now goes back to eat Truma. How do we know? That's a Hadra Achla Mishum B'na Menal. And how do we know that she can go back and eat because of her son? In other words, there's a woman who's about Yisrael. She never ate Truma in her life. She married a Kohen, and now she eats Truma. The Kohen's son allows her to eat Truma, even though her husband died. But then, subsequently, she married out of the Kohanic family, so she couldn't eat Truma. But then all those sons died, and all she's left with is, she's not married to a Kohen anymore, but all she's left with is a Ben Kohen that at one point in her life generated her eating Truma, but that had already dissipated. So how do we know that it reverts back when the only son she has is a Kohen? Rabam Rav, Bat Ubat, because the Pasuk says, Uvat Kohen, Kiti Alman Agusha, in the beginning of Pasuk Yod Gimel, the first Pasuk on the page, the Uvat Kohen, the Vav is extra. Kaman Rabbi Akiva the Darsh Vavi. We've had this before. Rabbi Akiva is the one who darshens that even the Vav Achibur, the conjunctive Vav, when it seems a little bit superfluous, can be a drasha. So the answer is no. Afilu Tem Rabbanan, even Rabbanan would agree here, because Kula Uvat Krayatero, when we have this several daf ago, that Rabbanan would read that the entire word Uvat, meaning Uvat Kohen, in this pasuk is extra, because all it has to say, if that woman who we talked about in the previous pasuk, she's already mentioned, identified as Uvat Kohen, we don't have to say Uvat Kohen in this pasuk, that's extra, and that says that it even has somebody who was eating not only a Bat Kohen, who can come back to the Kohen's house, and to her father's house, after she was divorced or widowed without children, but even somebody who ate only Midin, she was not a Bat Kohen, but she was a Bat Yisrael, who ate because of her son, when that's the only son left, after the rest of the sons die, she comes back too. Good. Tan Rabbanan, Chi Choser Choser L'Truma V'Eino Choser L'Chaz V'Shok. This we saw earlier, but now we'll see the full development. When a Bat Kohen returns to her father's fold when she was divorced or widowed from her Israeli or non-Kohen husband, she returns to eat Truma, but she does not return to eat Chazei Vashok, which are those parts of the animal that are given to the Kohanim and are eaten by all Kohanim, male, female, etc. Well, it's no etc., male and female, who are members of the Kohen's house. This is the part given from a Korban Shlamim. So how do we know that she does not go back to eat Chazei Vashok? Once she leaves the household by marrying a non-Kohen, regardless of her status afterwards, that she gets divorced or widowed and she comes back without kids, she does not come back ever eat Chazei Vashok again. How do we know that? It says if Bat Kohen leaves, she does not eat Bitrumata Korashim. What's the drasha? It doesn't mean truma that's holy, but rather the truma of kodshim, which is the chazav ashok. That's drasha number one. Meaning lechem here being in its original meaning of the word, which is food. That's what lechem means. So milechem meaning some of the food of her father, v'lo kol lechem, not all the food of her father. Meaning prat lechazav ashok. The truma yes, chazav ashok not. So maybe what's being excluded is that she does not return to have her father disallow her vows. Remember that a girl growing up in her father's house, if she makes a neder and she's of an age where nedarim are meaningful, not a little girl, but a girl who knows what she's doing, her father can reject the vow if it's within 24 hours. But he heard it all the dinim of hafar nedarim, which we'll get to in nedarim towards the end. So the suggestion here is that maybe when she returns to her father's house, she returns and eats everything, and the only thing it isn't like the old days when she was young is that her father doesn't do afar and darim. So Amar Rava, Kfar Paska Tana Rebbe Shmuel. We already know that. Tana Rebbe Shmuel already made that ruling and the clear and unequivocal drasha that a girl does not go back to her father's house to have him do afar and darim in any case. Tana Rebbe Shmuel. Pasuk says, "V'neder almana grusha kol shandari yikum aleha." Any neder that an almana or a grusha makes is valid, meaning that there is nobody to reject it—not a husband because she's widowed or divorced—and not her father. Why? Matzav lomar v'lo mutzami chalav mutzami chalbal. Obviously, her nedarim count. Why does the text have to say that? After all, she has no father, she has no husband who's going to reject the vow. What's the case? It's talking about a case where the father or his agents handed her over to the agents of her husband for marriage. And on the way, they found out the husband died or the husband changed mind and divorced her, which means Heach ani kore ba beit avia shelzu or beit bala shelzu. Now, what's her status? Is she still part of her father's household because, after all, she never made it to a husband's household? Or is she part of the husband's household because she already left the father's household? Elo lamar l'chasa. What is the text saying? Kevan sheyatza shachad mishuta av shuvenei achol afer. Once she leaves her father's reshut, she can never he can never again have purview over her nedarim, which means that there's no way in the world that we would suggest the text is saying that a girl who marries a bat kohen, who marries a non kohen, and then is divorced or widowed and without children, would come back, and coming back means everything except hafarat nedarim, because hafarat nedarim wasn't even on the table. That's gone. The minute that she left the house, doesn't even matter if she married a kohen. Her father is never going to again can have purview over that. So that can't be the case. Good. Rav Safra mar milechem avia tochel lechem v'lo basar. Rav Safra works on the word lechem as the more contemporary meaning of bread. Rav Safra says she eats her father's bread, but not her father's meat, meaning not the kodshim. Papa mar milechem avia tochel lechem akanui lavia. He reads a little differently. The bread of her father, meaning bread that's owned by her father. The way that we're looking at it here is that truma is a gift given directly to the Kohanim, whereas shlomim, of course, is a korban that somebody dedicates to God, and as it were, God then hands over the chazav ashok to the Kohanim. Part of the chazav ashok to mishulchan gavoa kazachu. So the exclusion there is, she eats everything that is her father's to give her, but not things that are our Kaddish Baruch Hu's, that he says, I'm giving this to the Kohanim, that doesn't go to her. Rava amar, ve'et chazea tufa ve'choka truma tochlu, atav vanacha ve'vunacha itecha. Right, so the pasuk about the gift of Chazav Ashok says, you, the Kohanim, and your children, and your sons, and your daughters who are with you, bizman shitcha, when they're with you. Meaning, that's when they eat it. Amar av adabar ava tana, kshi chozeret levet avia, chozeret letruma, ve'eno chozeret lechazav Ashok. Right, so those are all the various drashot. We said that when she goes back for truma, not Chazav Ashok. But if she goes back because she has a Kohen son, in other words, the case in our Mishnah, where she was married to a Kohen, she had a son with a Kohen, she's a Bat Yisrael, she had a son with a Kohen, she subsequently had other marriages that invalidated her from Truma, and then all of them got deconstructed through death or divorce, and then ultimately through the death of the children that were left in those marriages, and all she's got left is a Ben Kohen, then Chozeret Af L'Chazav Ashok, strangely enough, she is a Bat Yisrael, but she's got a Ben Kohen. Now all the other children died, she comes back to the Kohanic family and eats truma, she also gets Chazav Ashok. As Rav Mordechai, Amar L'Shmata Kamit Rashi. So Rav Mordechai mentioned this to Rav Ashi. Amar Heche Kamit Rabia. He said, I don't understand. How could she possibly get Chazav Ashok when the Bat Kohen doesn't? The answer is Mi Uvat. Right? After all, well, this is part of Rav Ashi's challenge. After all, Mi Heche Kamit Rabia, how do we know that this girl even eats truma at all? Mi Uvat. Right? We said that at the beginning of our sugya. So so how could the one who is included by Uvat be stronger than the Bat herself? The Bat coin doesn't eat Chazav Ashok, but the Bat Yisrael, who's eating because she's got a Ben coin, does? So the answer he gave is, Hatam k'tivi miyuti, achalok k'tivi miyuti. It's only in the case of the Bat coin that the miyuti, mi lechem avia, lechem avia, lechem v'lo basar, whatever the miyut is, and we've got about four different options here, they're all written in the context of Bat coin. But not in the case of the one who is included from Uvat, which is the Bat Yisrael, who's coming because of her son, the Kohen. And strangely enough, she returns to have a full Kohanic rites of Chazav Ashok. Good. So now the next piece in the Mishnah. Bat Kohen Shenisei Yisrael. Good. Tana Rabbanan. Shavel Beit Avia Prat L'Shomeret Yavam. Prat L'Shomeret Yavam. All right. So the text says that she returns to her father's house. So obviously that excludes somebody who was not yet returned to his father's house because her husband died without children, but there's a brother there. And so she's waiting to see what happens there. Kin ureha, what does that line in the pasuk number one mean? Prat lim uberet, it's there to exclude a mi'uberet, meaning that if a girl was married to a non-Kohen and then he died or divorced and she was pregnant, she had no other children with him, but she was pregnant, she does not go back because she's not kin ureha. And now he say, "Valo dinhu." I don't need that pasuk. Why? After all, if a woman's married to a man and he dies or divorces her, and she's got a son with him, and she marries a second guy, and the second guy dies without children, she's still chayv in yibum. So we don't consider the child from the first marriage to be a player in the issue of yibum. Asa uba b'kilu. Nonetheless, in the case of Yibum, we do consider a fetus to be like a born child, meaning that if the husband dies and leaves her pregnant, then the assumption is, as long as she carries the term, that she's patur in a Yibum, I mean, as like a living child. So in other words, in the case of Yibum, where we don't consider earlier children as being players, and yet if she's pregnant, it's like a born child. But in the case of Truma, where a child from an earlier marriage can invalidate her from eating Truma, let's say she has a child from a marriage with Yisrael, that keeps her from eating Truma. So certainly here we should make the pregnant child, if she's pregnant, it should be like she has a living child, which means that if a Bat Kohen married a Yisrael and he died leaving her pregnant, obviously she should not eat Truma. So I don't need a Pasuk. I know a Kal v'chomer from Yibum. So, lo, the answer is that your Kal v'chomer is upside down. Mali asa ubar kilo l'in Yibum. Shreasa metim kachayim. Of course, I count the fetus as a living thing l'gabi Yibum, because after all, I also consider dead children like alive. Meaning, if a man dies with and his wife had a child with him, and immediately after he dies, that child dies, I don't consider that child dead, meaning that the minute that the husband died and there was a living child, she's patur min hayibum. If afterwards the child died, doesn't matter. So therefore, nasa uber kilo lein truma. Shel asam etim kachayim. But remember, in the case of truma, we don't consider dead children to be like live children. Our whole mishnayot are built on the idea that when the child dies, she's released from that relationship. So certainly you can't say that truma is more kal than yibum. In the case of truma, we don't consider dead children to be like live children, and therefore I would not know that if she was pregnant, that would reckon her as if that child was born and keep her still tied down to the non-Kohanic family, not allow her to eat truma. Tamid lomar kinu reha. Therefore, I need the pasuk kinu reha prat lemu beret. That's why I have to know that even if she's only pregnant from the Yisrael, that she can't eat. I need both psukim uberet, right? Meaning the drasha kinureha that tells me muberet does not go back to eat, and I also need the pasuk v'zera'in la if she has no kids. Meaning I need to be told that if the bat kohen who married the Yisrael can only come back if she has no kids. I also have to know that she can't. She can only come back if she's not pregnant. Meaning pregnant with the Yisrael's child. The ikar of rachon v'zera'in la. All I was told was she can come back if she has no kids. Because mikara chad gufa v'ashtra trei gufi. Because, of course, before she was one body, now she's two bodies. So as long as there's no other kids, I would think that she comes back to eat truma, meaning if she's pregnant. Ava muberet mikara chad gufa v'ashtra chad gufa ematechol. After all, if she's muberet, she went in single, she came back single. The fact that she's carrying a child, but there's still only one body there. I would think that she still eats truma, if all it said was v'zera in la. So yichav, ikad v'achona muberet mikara gufa srika. Hashta gufa malia, and if all the Torah said was that a kinureha, meaning, and our drasha is a muberet doesn't eat, I would think, sure, she went in as a thin girl and she comes back swollen, meaning that she's a different person now. She's got this whole Yisrael thing going on inside of her. Aval zera in la, but that I wouldn't know. Demikara gufa srika, hashta gufa srika. After all, if she went in, married a Yisrael, had children with him, and then he died, why shouldn't she be able to come back? After all, she's still the same person she was before. Emalot suicha. Therefore, I need the pasuk v'zera ein la. Good. So now what we're going to do at the end of our perek is take the two different components that we have of yibum versus truma and the different kalim and chamurim of each. In other words, the strong and weak points of each, and play them off each other and theoretically, only theoretically, play with the possibility of upending halacha. And let's see how it plays. Rabbi Yehuda midiskrta l'Rava. So Rabbi Yehuda challenged Rava as follows: Lo nasa meitim kachayim l'inyan yibum. Let's make it possibility one. There's four here. Possibility one is let's make it that the dead are not like the living. L'gabe yibum mikal v'chomer, meaning that if a man dies and he has children with his wife, and then his wife a year later, one of the children die, that she should now be chayiv in yibum. In other words, we will say that the children who died are not like children who are living, meaning that what happens at the point the husband dies is not the final marker. But rather, if these children die during her lifetime, and at that point in time, she now is a woman without children from that husband, that she's suddenly chayiv in Yibum, mikal v'chomer. This, of course, is an impossibility, but just theoretically, mikal v'chomer. After all, in the case of Truma, we say the earlier child is reckoned, and therefore is puzzle her from Truma. Nonetheless, dead children are not like living. Once they're dead, she's released. So in the case of Yibum, where the child from the early marriage doesn't count at all, so certainly we should not consider the children that died as live. Once a child has died, then she's released from that relationship. She's disconnected from that relationship. And in the case of Yibum, there would be a Zika. Therefore, we have the pasuk in Mishlei. It says the ways of Torah are all ways of pleasantness. And Rashi points out, what would it be like a woman, his husband dies? It's bad enough tragedy. I'm adding my own editorial in here. She then marries another. She has a few children. Man dies. She marries another man. Has a few children with him. And then suddenly, in a tragedy, all the children from the first marriage die. Suddenly, you're going to turn around and say, now she's chayiv in Yibum, which, by the way, means that these children are at least problematic that she had, and this marriage has to be dissolved because there's a Zika. I mean, how are you going to say such a thing? Good. Okay. V'naseh meitim kachayim. By the way, the real answer to this is something we're going to come up with at the end of the parak. V'naseh meitim kachayim le'inyan trum mikal v'chomer. Let's turn it around. Let's say that the children who were alive, once they died, we don't care. The fact is that their existence at one point should be considered permanent. Lagabe truma, which means if a bat kohen married Yisrael and had children with Yisrael, even if that child dies, after the husband dies, even if the child dies, she should be considered forever connected to the Yisrael and never be able to eat truma. Mikal v'chomer. We're just turning it inside out. In the case of Yibum, where children from an early marriage don't reckon at all, nonetheless, children who were alive at the time of death, even though they died later, are still considered alive. So certainly in the case of Truma, where children from an earlier marriage are considered valid players, certainly we should then consider the ones who are dead as if they're alive, which means, again, if the woman, Bat Kohen, married Yisrael and had children, and the Yisrael died, even though the children then died, she should be considered forever connected to the Yisrael, never eat Truma. Tamalomer v'zera ein la. Therefore, the Torah says, v'zera ein la, v'ha ein la. She doesn't have kids, she doesn't have kids. It's not about ever having had kids. It's having kids now. And I said, v'la b'na rishon g'va b'na, this is the second couplet. So now we should perhaps make the Vlad min harishon, ki Vlad min hasheni, meaning that the children from the first marriage should be reckoned here, l'inyan yibum, mikal v'chomer. After all, if somebody is married, the woman is married to a guy earlier and had kids, and then she's divorced or died, and then she marries another guy, and he dies without kids, we should say, hey, she has kids, and there's no Yibum. Mikal v'chomer. After all, in the case of Truma, we said that the dead children are not considered equal to alive, and nonetheless, her earlier children count. In the case of Yibum, where the ones who are dead are considered kachayim, in Yibum, in other words, if they died after the husband died, it doesn't matter. The fact is they were alive at that moment, that's good enough. Enodin shenase vlad min harishon ki vlad min hasheni, certainly we should consider the vlad from the, how do you call it? Enodin shenase vlad min harishon ki vlad min hasheni, her earlier kids should then count. And therefore, if a woman is married to a man, has children with him, man divorces her, she marries another man, and he dies without children, she should be put to be a Yibum. Tamaloma or vein ain lo. In the case of Yibum, and I didn't put this pasuk on the page, we've seen it so many times, if a man dies without him having had children, v'ha ain lo, he has no children. And now let's flip it. Let's say that the Vlad min Harishon should not be like the Vlad min Hasheni, Litruma. In other words, kids that she had earlier should now not count Lagabe Truma, Mikal v'chomer. In a case where meitim are kachayim, right, which is the whole point of Yibum, that if the husband died and afterwards the children died, doesn't matter, they were alive at the time he died, and therefore it's part of a Yibum. Nonetheless, the children from the earlier marriage don't count as far as Yibum goes. Malkum shalasa meitim kachaim linyan truma. So in the case of truma, where a child dies, she's released from that relationship no matter when he died. So certainly we should not count children from an earlier marriage at all. Tamalomar ein la. Therefore it says that only if she comes back and she has no children, if she has children, then they indeed count, and that is what torpedoes it. And indeed, going back to the Darcha Darchinoam, that's really the issue. The point is that at the point that the husband dies is when everything gets reckoned. So if the husband dies and he has children, then you don't say Ubein Einlo, there is no Yibum, and immediately she's Pturah, and you can't later on create a Zika. But we're operating within the framework of this series of Kal V'chomers. We have a quite interesting set of Kal V'chomers in which Rav Yehuda Midi Iskrita was challenging Rava and saying, theoretically, I could argue that things are really upside down based on a Kal V'chomer. In the end, of course, everything stays right side up. But we are sort of justifying the psukim of Azera Einla and Uvein Einlo that determine really that in the case of Truma, it's based on her children. In the case of Yibum, it's based on his children. And that's really the end of the story. Hadran alach yesh mutarot. Baruch Hashem, we have been zocha to finish another parak in Masachet Yivamot. And Mirtz Hashem, in the next podcast, we will begin the 10th parak, which really begins the final series of prakim in the Masachet that deal with the situation of Edut Isha, which is about a woman's husband going on a trip and then word coming back that he was killed, what kind of testimony works, if she remarries based on the testimony, based on the Beitin, etc. And we will deal with that in Mirtz Hashem beginning with the next podcast. Everyone should have a wonderful day.